Oh, goody. Time for another episode of What's Going On Out There, Ruth? Should we call it an episode? I'm having an episode. What's going on out there, Ruth?
Lots going on episodically, yes.
Then why don't you, where would you like to begin?
Okay. Let us start with, well, the news that our superintendent has announced she is retiring. Lisa Carter will be leaving at the end of the school year. She's come up through the ranks here. She was principal of Salisbury. Well, no, first she taught at the high school, social studies, and then she was principal at Salisbury Central, and then she was assistant superintendent, and then superintendent. And now she, as I say, she is leaving, and she does have a job next year as a consultant at Advance. I'm sorry?
What's it, at Advance?
Advance is our...
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody else who doesn't know.
Okay, it's sort of a consortium of education. That, around the state, there are consortiums of educational agencies that work in various fields. They do transportation, they do curriculum, they do all sorts of things. And the one for the northwest corner is Ed Advance, and that's in Litchfield. So she will be working with there as a consultant. And Lisa's been very popular. Her notice of her retirement came, you know, with accolades from many of the board members and staff. And so the ABC, which is the all boards chair, made up of the chairman of all the boards in the region, will be setting up a search committee I think they're probably going to work with a search, you know, professional consultant, and to get her replacement, which they've done in the past. So we shall see. But this will be her final year.
Wasn't Lisa almost by, you know, acclamation when the time came? I thought that it was thought then that she would be a really good bridge, so to speak, and then since she had been the assistant, and then she became the superintendent, so it kept things, you know, a little quieter. But I have absolutely no idea what's going on with ABC or anything like that at this point. All boards.
Yeah. Yes. Well, as you, I'm sure, well remember, there was a lot of, we've had years where there was tension and some tumultuous times in the central office. Lisa brought a calmness to it, I think, and that was, which was appreciated. So, and she did. She was, when Pam Vogel was superintendent, I think it was known that Lisa would move up when Pam retired, which is what happened. And you're right, she was, you know, sort of...
Everybody was comfortable with that.
I'm
going to say non-journalistically.
Yes.
Now, also non-journalistically, but answer however you would like, is there a candidate that is... Is this going to be a... A draw? Is there an obvious candidate?
No, okay. Not that I am aware, and you know, not that I would know necessarily.
No,
but I'm speaking
consensus.
Yeah, not that I know. As with Lisa, it was pretty obvious that she would become the next superintendent. I don't see that at this point. I don't know of that.
Right. Okay.
At this point, so.
And how long do they have? And who is the current assistant?
Janine Rose was brought in from another district. When Lisa became, when Lisa became superintendent, she decided to have two assistants. If you remember, so it was Scott Fellows and Jill Pace, who were staff members within the region. They became half-time each assistant superintendents, and that worked for couple of years or a year and a half, and then Lisa said, no, we need a full-time one person, and that's when they hired Janine Rose. So that's how it worked out.
Okay.
So we'll see. See how it goes, and we'll be watching, and we'll be letting you know what happens. I would assume we'll know by about April or so, usually.
Okay. Yep.
So, moving on. I'm sure people are well aware that the hospital has, Nuvance, has appealed the decision to not allow Sharon Hospital to shutter its maternity. There is a long document that, to be honest, I have to look at and go over as to why they feel the rejection of their application to close the maternity ward was not to their liking, or not, you know.
We know why it wasn't to their liking, she said non-journalistically. But the question, so are they appealing that, so to speak, or are they complaining about that?
They have several reasons why they felt the decision was inappropriate, and I've been so busy with no
life.
Excuses, but I will have to work. I have that document, and I have to
wade through it. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's
I
just,
do.
Again, non-journalistic speak.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be fair and honest, I need to look at that before I can say too much more. I just know that they are appealing.
At the 11, probably at the 11 and a half hour, right?
Right.
That just came in at the very, very, what used to be called in the real estate business is getting gazumped. sorry, again, non-journalistically. You walk the line, and I'll just trod in the mud.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. We'll do it together.
We'll get
Jill.
To what you're for. What is it? You take the high road. No, you take the high road. No, it is, yes, you take the high road. I'll take the low road, and someone
and we'll
will
get there eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a meeting in Falls Village the other night on this easement, an explanation. It was a public hearing on the easement that will allow for the purchase of the old firehouse. So the three selectmen were there and explained how they're going to. There's been a tiny bit of encroachment from the Falls Village in, from the firehouse onto the Falls Village in property, and it's been one of the holdups of this sale. You know, they're trying to sell the old firehouse, which is town-owned, not firehouse, not fire department-owned, town-owned.
Right, and the Falls Village, I mean, I think that encroachment was all, people were always aware of that, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so, but it's sort of just hindered the ongoing negotiations. So the selectmen came up with this plan, and so the inn gives a little land to make the firehouse property conforming, and in return, the town is giving an easement to the Falls Village Inn people to allow them to get back from the street back into the rear, so that they can. It's easier for supplies to be delivered back there. So, what happens is, this is going to be brought up on the election day. People are going to vote in one room for municipal election, and in the other room, there's going to be a separate referendum with four questions on the ballot, including approving this idea of an easement and thus approving the sale of the firehouse. It's not mentioned who the firehouse is being sold to, but it has been, the proposal has been talked about that James Gillespie will be purchasing the property. He got the bid for $300,000 to put in a gym on the main floor and then health service offices on the second floor, as I said, for $300,000. So, voters will be voting, as I said, in two rooms, and two of the votes on the second room deal with the firehouse, and then there are a couple of other issues also on the ballot in the other room, if that makes sense.
Do people understand? Maybe. I mean, the two rooms, that makes sense. And
yeah.
The pencil and paper, that makes sense. The
right.
What I'm not clear about is, do people know what they're – does the existence of the easement complicate anything, or is that just housekeeping that most people understand?
Well, 12 people came out for that public hearing. So it's hard to say whether – how much they'll understand of it, and how many people will be know to go vote. I'm sure they'll be encouraged to vote, but
right. No, I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, public hearings are, you know, sometimes they're formalities.
Yeah,
and I guess that's what I'm trying to what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not this is a complex again. Diplomatically and in fairness, is this, you know, just a complication that shouldn't interfere with the choice?
Or it should, hopefully, you know, if people are listening or are reading and are aware, will understand the ramifications of these easements that would lead to the sale.
Okay. So we have to rely on people's good sense and ability to listen.
Right. I mean, the selectmen, in all fairness, they held this hearing. No vote. It was just an informational hearing.
Right.
You know, people came out. Some people understood and some had questions. They were asked, somebody asked, isn't that a small amount of money to be for the parcel of land and the firehouse? And First Selectman Henry Todd said, well, they're selling it below the $20,000 below the appraised value, but they would, you know, they want to get this off the their list of to-dos, I think, before right in conjunction with a new board. So
got it. All right.
We'll see
what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, you know, square off the property that's going to be sold and give the neighbors something in return. So.
Yes, and what is distressing is in life things that make sense, and you just should be like, oh, I'm not taking a view on this particular thing because I don't know the different size issues, but, you know, it's easier, you know, in life it's often more efficient to do what makes sense, because that's the microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
And habit being what it is, people get into the bigger thing, da 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 da, and then that takes something that in that individual, you know, circumstance makes sense and possibly ought to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it runs afoul of all of the different
sensibilities.
Understandings of how things work. Official understanding of how something works and the way something actually works are frequently pulls apart. Let's just
true.
Say
true.
That's all. So I'm trying to, for my own purpose, for my own curiosity, thread that. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know the answer, and people are just going to have to do what they do.
And we'll see if they do understand it and what their vote is on the November 7th. So it will run concurrently with the vote, same hours. And
You know me. I mean, I'm just all excited about the paper.
Mm.
But that's neither that I would say, you know, for everybody. But again, in Falls Village, you can see the counter. You know, you can see when your ballot goes in how many.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right. You're a Falls Village resident.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
And I cannot tell you how many times I have been sent by our fearless leader to just say, how many people, when you voted, how many people had voted? But I think the same is true. Is the same true in Salisbury? I think the same is true in other
mm-hmm.
places.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up, so we'll go forward and then maybe backwards.
We can do that.
Town meeting Friday night in Cornwall on that closing the retaining wall that has to be replaced in Cornwall, in West Cornwall. The public is going to be asked to vote on appropriating $500,000 towards that project, which appears to be necessary. Obviously, there's deterioration of the bridge, and the flooding has just caused Millbrook to just, you know, float right down onto that bridge and destroy it. So, as we said before, the road will have to be closed for several months, probably, at least during the day. It'll be open evenings and weekends, but people should be aware that that's going to happen. And that's the road that, you know, goes from West Cornwall all the way out to Music Mountain, or in that vicinity in Falls Village.
What is that, River Road?
Lower River Road, yeah.
No, Lower not Lower River Road only goes to
No, River Road. Yeah. I get those river roads mixed up.
So basically, from all the way up, that's 5 miles.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if it's closed, it's closed. I mean, it's closed just at that section, but it deters people from being able to get from.
Okay, so it's the Lower River Road section of West Cornwall. But it,
it's right at the intersection, you know, of River Road and 128. Yeah.
Is the you know the house before the V, is that on the where is it relevant to relative to that house?
All right, it's right across the street. When you come out of River Road, you are facing the Union and the Local. The building where that houses the Local and the Union.
Right.
Yeah. So, but there are people, you know, who live right in that vicinity who will have to go around, figure out how to, during the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. Okay.
Yep. So that is, I believe it's 7:30 at the school on Friday
November
night.
November
3rd. And then I just want to put a plug in. The Alumni Association is having its annual, biannual, Wall of Honor ceremony on November 5th, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And this honors graduates of the school who have gone on to do terrific things and are being recognized by their a lot of peers are the ones who nominate them. And there are 10 really wonderful nominees this year. And that ceremony is just, it just always grabs me because from this small rural high school, what people have gone on to do just is amazing. This is the third round of the Wall of Honor. And I would encourage people to come to the ceremony, 1 o'clock on November 5th at the high school, just to hear the remarkable things that people have done. And then there's a they have speeches, and they're those people who are nominated talk about their nominees, and then they put up a display in the front hall of the high school, which it's a running display that is just wonderful. For those who can't be at the ceremony, it reiterates everything that of these people. So, and it's young, but, you know, you have to have been out of school at least 10 years. So we have, you know, a mix of ages, and it's heartwarming. So I'm putting a plug in for that.
All right, and I'm going to put a plug in for the fact that right after our fearless leader departed, I got several calls, and because there was a huge feeling that Marshall, with what he has done for radio, you know, should be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a day or something before the nominations closed. It was just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
but
there's
always
two years
from now.
Yep.
And I think
he would make a wonderful representative.
And thank you, and thank you everybody who asked about that.
That's great.
And then I want to go back for one more thing before we're going to run out of time, as usual. But hey, the good news is what's going on out there. Ruth can just rack up the minutes, and that is the meeting, the West Cornwall meeting. You said at the school, which school?
Cornwall Consolidated.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Anything you'd like to say in your final 30 seconds?
Let me just quickly So we had Salisbury Forum Friday night, an interesting talk on artificial intelligence from somebody who's the chairman of the Authors Guild. It was very interesting and enlightening, a little some above my head because of all these apps and things, but interesting. There was a cemetery tour in Falls Village on Saturday that was fabulous. The Historical Society partnered with the library to put that on. And we had the pumpkin run in Kent yesterday in the rain, almost 300 people running, and the car raffle, which everybody is, library was raffling off a Porsche, and we have a winner for this year, somebody from Maryland. And we had a couple of candidates' functions. On Saturday, there was an ice cream social put on by the Kent Democrats and a lot of bigwigs, Senator Blumenthal, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewich, and our state treasurer, Eric Russell, were at. A lot of fun and a lot of, you know, good speeches. And yesterday in Sharon, they had a nonpartisan candidates. Everybody was invited, you know, the whole slate, entire slate. And that was a very nicely done atmosphere there. That was a good idea to have just everybody, didn't matter what party. So that was a great thing. So things are popping, and as I say, you know, Halloween's tomorrow, and that'll be loads of stuff going on, and then that'll be over, and we look forward to the election next week.
We just go hop, skip, and jump.
Yeah.
From one entity to another.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent job on what's going on out there, Ruth.
Okay.
All right.
Stay dry. Yeah, we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.